Well, welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood. And today I'd like to explore the question, why witness? Now, that may seem like a silly question. It may seem obvious to us why we should be witnessing. I mean, we look around and we see our world is filled with people who are perishing. We don't have to look far in our culture to find people who don't know Jesus Christ. They may be as close as our own family members, our coworkers, our neighbors. Why witness? The world is perishing. People are going to hell. We need to witness. But we need to unpack this a little bit, because if we look to God's word, we begin to see something that doesn't necessarily fit so well with a lot of common ideas about evangelism. And the question, why witness, becomes a very valid, well, and very important question for us to ask ourselves. Now, we read in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that God has, from the beginning of time, before he created anything, already chosen those people who would come to faith. By his grace, in his sovereign wisdom, he chose those people whom he would rescue from everlasting condemnation and bring them to faith in Jesus and everlasting life. Now, the Formula of Concord in the Solid Declaration, Article 11, addresses this thing head on, and it puts it very well. It says, in this his eternal counsel, purpose, and ordinance, God has not only prepared salvation in general, but he has also graciously considered and elected to salvation each and every individual among the elect who are to be saved through Christ. See, this is not just some general idea about salvation, but God selected individually, personally, each of the people who would be counted among his elect. So our evangelism efforts will not result in a single additional person entering into heaven or a single additional person perishing in hell. And so that raises that question, why witness? If our efforts aren't going to change the eternal salvation of a person, why should we witness? Why should we spend the time and the energy and the resources? Why should we put ourselves out there, make ourselves uncomfortable, maybe even risk being persecuted or ridiculed for our faith? Why should we do all that if the elect are the elect? Why witness? The Formula Concord goes on to say something that answers that question pretty well. And also, God ordained that in the manner just recounted, he wills by his grace, gifts, and effective working to bring them to salvation and to help further strengthen and preserve them to this end. God uses means to bring the elect, to bring those he's chosen for salvation into the church, into word and sacrament ministry, into eternal life in Jesus Christ. And we are the instruments that God has chosen to bring those means of grace to those whom he has elected. Why witness? Because the elect need to be connected to Jesus Christ. They need to be connected through the means of grace. Because faith comes through hearing and hearing of the word of Christ, as it says in Romans 10:17. And we are the ones who bear witness, who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, so that the elect will hear and believe and receive what God has ordained for them. The doctrine of election by grace certainly answers the overriding theological technical question of why should we witness? But if we get behind that on a more personal level, we may wonder, well, why should I witness? Find those proper motives. We need to look in the right place. One of the reasons people have so much trouble with this doctrine of election by grace is that they're looking into the mind of God. They want to know why God chose one person over another for salvation. Maybe they want to know who God has chosen so that they don't waste their time going out and talking to someone who hasn't been chosen. They want to know the mind of God. And Romans 11, 33, 34 reminds us, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? If we're looking into the mind of God for the proper motive for witnesses, we're always going to come up short. We're going to be confused and confounded. We're going to see this as a terrible burden that we can't know, but we feel we ought to know in order to be effective witnesses. Now, the place to look isn't in the mind of God, but the place to look for the proper motive for witnessing is in the heart of God. Because while God has not revealed his knowledge about the elect, God has revealed his heartfelt desire for all people. In 1 Timothy 2, we read, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God truly desires that all would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be saved. And so there's our place where we can find a proper motive for witnessing, because it's in the heart of God that we discover God's joy. See, it pleases the Father when the elect are gathered. The elect are lost. until they're gathered into the church. The elect are lost until they're connected with the means of grace. The elect are not where God wants them to be, and he sends us out to find them. And when we find them, when we bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those whom he's chosen for salvation, they are going to have a free and joyful response to God's grace. And we get to share in that. We get to share in God's joy. What a beautiful motive for witnessing. To know that God has this great joy when someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ and is gathered into his church, and we get to be the instruments of bringing the means of grace to that person, and we get to share in God's joy as it all unfolds. God's joy. Well, that's a proper motive for witnessing. And so is the fact that this is God's mission. Now, Jesus said to his disciples that the Son of Man was sent into the world to seek and to save the lost. That's his mission. And Jesus said also to them, and by extension to us, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. God has included you in his mission. He's given you an honored place and a role in this mission of his that is so close to his heart that those who don't know him would come to know him. And he uses you as an instrument in that mission work of his. He uses you so others would come to know his love and joy and peace. The proper motive for evangelism begins with our love for God. But it can't simply be our love for God, because Jesus joined that love of God to another love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, he said, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So there's no greater expression of love for our neighbors than to share the life and love of Jesus with them. Well, there's lots of ways that we can show God's love to people. There's lots of ways that we can show our personal love for people. There are all sorts of acts of mercy and kindness, but the greatest expression of love is that we would share life and salvation in Jesus Christ with those who are lost, those who are perishing, without trying to figure out who's elect and who's not, simply to go where the heart of God leads us, to our neighbor, to show love. Well, the importance of witnessing then, it can't be overstated. The elect are waiting. The elect are out there. They're not gathered to the church. They don't know Christ. We need to go out into the world and share the good news of Jesus so that those whom he has chosen in his eternal counsel can come to know what belongs to them in Christ by his choosing. We know it's going to happen. Yet when we turn to God's word, we find that there is a sense of urgency about this task that he's given to us. And the first thing we learn is, time is short. There's work to be done. There are people to be gathered, the lost to be found, and you've been called to do this work. And your time for this work is limited. It's short. It's grown very short. Your time is short by the very fact your life is like a breath. The time you spend in this world is like the grass of the field. We're here, and then we're gone. Our time is very limited. Our time for this work is short. It's an urgent task for each one of us to go out and be the witnesses we're called to be. Well, there are other reasons why the task of witnessing is an urgent task. And one of those is life now. Let's look at that in terms of 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Holy Spirit is speaking through his apostle, telling us that, you know, if we're only following Jesus for life in this world, that's pretty sad. We're living under the cross, giving up worldly things. We're passing up worldly opportunities in order to serve Christ faithfully. And if all we have of Christ is life in this world, we blew it. We know that we have eternal life in Christ. And the sacrifices we make in this life, they pale in comparison to the glory that's ours in Jesus. But think of the flip side of that. Yes, life with Christ is going to be great in eternity. But isn't it great to have life in Christ now? What if we had to wait for any benefit of belonging to Jesus? Is it better to know Christ sooner in life or later? Because we know the joy of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the comfort of Jesus. We know the sooner that the elect hear of Christ, the better for life now. There's one more reason that we should see urgency in the task of going out into the world with the good news of Jesus. And that is that we and others can bear better fruit. See, no one can bear fruit to God's glory apart from faith, not even the elect, not until they come to faith. See, the needs of our neighbors are great. There is much work to be done, much fruit to be borne, much glory for God in the work that we could be doing. So those who come to know Jesus sooner have the opportunity to bear greater fruit, better fruit to the glory of God. So the urgency behind our witness isn't that others would come to know Jesus sooner than later, to live in his love and joy and peace sooner than later, and to bear fruit with us to his glory sooner than later. So why witness? It's what we're called to be. It's who we are in the world. It's God's purpose for each and every one of us. He's given us this opportunity to show his love to our neighbor, to bear fruit to his glory, and to share in his joy.